Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 144 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap some nerd news. Not a lot going on in entertainment this week. We've got the Oscars coming up and a new trailer. Then we're going to move quickly into tech, where there's a lot happening with FBI hacking the exchange servers to help individuals. We've also got autonomous vehicles, an NFT sold by Snowden, and a bunch of space news to get to. There's a lot going on. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds. Nerds!
All right, and we're back with episode 144. And I just, a couple days ago, had five teeth yanked out of my face.
Not just five teeth. Five yeah. wisdom teeth, you freak five of nature.
Yeah, yeah, no. Apparently, I'm a shark, and I grow extra teeth, which my mouth had plenty of space for the four wisdom teeth that originally came in. And then this fifth one screwed up the plan, and now I'm way too old to be getting teeth ripped out of my face. But the decision was made, and here I am suffering. So this is going to be, you know, maybe I'm going to let you drive this show.
It sounds like one of those, like, would you rather questions. Like, would you rather have a fifth wisdom tooth or a sixth pinky toe on your right foot that you'd always stub no matter what? Like, I don't know, man. That fifth wisdom tooth, that's something else.
Yeah, so I'm going to hit some fatigue pretty fast with the talking.
Yeah, this is Ken's Kanye through the wire episode.
So let's jump into some entertainment and get me through this recording here. I guess let's start with the biggest entertainment thing coming up this weekend. It's the Oscars.
Yeah, and it's so funny to see commercials for it because they are hyping it like, we're actually going to do it in a room with each other.
Yeah. We're not going to wear masks. No masks. Like, all right, guys. Good for you.
Even though
Tom Cruise is in there just berating everybody for being too close to each other.
Oh. Do your part. We're fucking heroes.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's ever been an Oscars that I've been less interested in than the 2020 recap of mediocrity.
Yeah, so, I could care less about this year. We did a fun special last year for the Oscars because there were so many good movies out, and we all went and saw them and had a nice three-way discussion. Yeah, not this year. Like, we're calling it for COVID. Maybe next year, biannually.
Yeah, I know. I know you and Sean initially were talking about still just doing it, just keeping it alive. I was out from the beginning. I said, it's good. You guys have fun if you're going to do an Oscar show.
I like tradition, man. I got a thing for tradition. I will say that.
Yeah, well, this one's not one of those then, apparently. Not making it to the tradition category. It was a one and done. Maybe we'll reinvigorate it when there's movies worth talking about. But the Oscars, there's almost nothing coming out of the Oscars that I cared to watch, that I'm excited to see win or do well. This entire Oscars slate, like, I hope when they do like the posters of, you know, Oscar winning actor, whatever else, and whatever movie next they do, they put like an asterisk next to Oscar winner. Like, I hope they just put Oscar winner 2020 asterisk next to whoever gets it, because it's not the same. This isn't like the Tom Hanks years and the Leo years.
Well, like, everybody that gets an actual statue should have, like, the statue should have like a mask embedded on it, like, just to remind you that nobody could see your movie. Nobody was allowed to see your movie. No one cared about your riveting performance.
Yeah. The only people being happy coming out of the Oscars should be like Netflix, because they were already starting to dominate the Oscars. And then this one, they really just get to show that, you know, they get to rack up the award number count, the nomination count, and just pretend that, you know, they earned it all.
Just have, like, you know, like their usual celebrities go up and give speeches. Let's just run through it. You know, have Meryl Streep go up there, Tom Hanks, Leo, Denzel, like, call it a show, get everyone the fuck out. No one cares.
Yeah, well, I think that's enough Oscar time. So let's move through another thing that I guess I just don't care about. There's a Zack Snyder Justice League trilogy trailer.
Now, I'm not going to lie. I didn't even watch it because I honestly thought it was some fan-made thing that you shared with me. I'm like, did this dude just get trolled? Like, you shared it in our outline segment, and I was just like, I'm not watching these. Like, they've gotten so good at making those, like, fan-made trailers. I was like, look, he got caught. I didn't even watch it.
Nope. This came from IGN. The article, and it's an official trailer. And the funny part is I knew it was official and I knew we were going to talk about it. I also didn't watch it.
Boom. Boom. Talking about just something neither one of us even watched.
Just because I don't care. Like, it's a fake fan fiction. Like, let's just move on, everybody.
At this point, Snyder's just trolling everybody. Like, they gave him $70 million in 4 years to just troll the world.
Yeah, and he's apparently spent some of it finishing a trailer for a trilogy that's never going to happen.
Yeah, and I mean, and this goes along the lines too, is like, I shared that Instagram post where they said Rian Johnson was on the set of Mandalorian and expressed to Filoni how jealous he was of it. Like, go away. Like, shoo. what are you doing? Like, the minute he stepped on set, everybody kind of like probably had that like cringe face, like, ooh, don't touch anything. Don't touch it.
Don't you dare touch Grogu.
Fucking mush. I think Snyder, he's just having too much fun with this shit now. Like, the heartstrings of DC fans they're too easy to pull on. They're too easy to pull on. And I truly do feel bad for that whole fan base. Like, I can't imagine just the amount of letdown and then the sheer fuckery that they just throw at their face. Like, I don't even know how to like put it into words. It's like that scene in Billy Madison when he's just spraying the kid down with the hose, crying. Like, that's DC fandom. Somebody in the cantina make that a meme or a gif.
Now, you know, there was an actual trailer that matters that came out, and that was the Shang-Chi movie trailer. Did you get a chance to watch that one?
Yes, very promising.
I mean, I like it. I know nothing about that as a comic, right? Like, so I'm going in so cold in the sense that I have no idea what the backstory of that comic book arc is, the characters, the villains. So I'm just excited. Like, it's effectively a new story for me. I have no preconceived notions, and it looks entertaining. So, well done.
I know my Asian friends are just gearing up, like, this is our time to shine. This is our Black Panther. I had talked to a few of them. They're geeked up for it.
Go. Yeah, so that one looks good. So at least we got one trailer that mattered this week.
Yeah,
but I think that's it. That's it for entertainment. Not much in the realm of moving. It's unfortunate. You know, this is when we'd be talking normally about the May releases and summer movies.
Summer movies coming. I got tickets for Mortal Kombat. Even though you're going to watch it at home, I'll be at the theater.
I'm not going to be watching it from home. My HBO Max 1 month that I paid for, it ended yesterday. Mortal Kombat doesn't get a month from me. Mortal Kombat doesn't cut it. So,
oh Jesus,
sorry about your luck. I'll watch that one, maybe whatever the next round of movies that comes out.
That's too funny.
All right, well, let's jump into some tech where there's, you know, some actual impactful news.
I need to talk about tech this week.
And the first one, it's a very interesting story. You know, we had the Microsoft Exchange server hack that took place early March. I mean, really, the hack was taking place in January, February, detected in March, and a very wide sweeping hack. Everybody talked very much about the SolarWinds hack and the effect that one had, but this Microsoft Exchange server hack was. Probably equally as bad.
Yeah, it touched everything. It like touched everything.
And FBI, you know, there's some information that came out of the FBI this week that essentially said that the FBI went in and collected evidence, these web shells that were created by the hack that gave the backdoors and gave the proxy logon information for these companies to come in and access people's systems and servers, the FBI went into companies without the company's knowledge with search warrants to go into their networks, find the web shells, copy them for evidence purposes, and then remove them out of people's systems, all without the companies that they were helping, right? Like this is them going in and fixing a problem for people, but not telling them up front. They did this through search warrants, seeking out the evidence of the hack, and didn't even notify the companies that they were going to do this with. They didn't give them a chance to say yes or no. And they explicitly in their warrants asked the judges to delay notification for 14 days until after they were done in their systems. So it's like this weird, like, thank you, FBI, for coming in and fixing these web shells and fixing these. Like, they said that the companies that they chose were companies that were smaller, that didn't have the capability, or, I mean, maybe they had the capability, they didn't even bother to ask, but they assumed that these companies didn't have the capability or the monitoring to go in and fix this complex problem, so they're helping them out. But, I mean, realistically, they're just gathering information and data without permission from the companies, getting a search warrant in the shadiest ways possible.
Yeah, like, and that's the thing is, like, what information did they pull to hand over to the IRS, ATF, you know, like SEC? Like, what information did they download on a USB stick while they were doing all this that is essentially going to screw them in the long run? You know, it's like one of those things, like, you know, I don't care if you're a criminal or not. If you believe that law enforcement is always the good guys, like, the one rule I've always stuck with in life is, cop knocks on your front door, you slide through the crack of that front door, you shut that motherfucker behind you, because if they come in your house, like, there's nothing good that's going to come out of that. There's never going to be a situation where they look around and you know, the best case scenario is that they just leave. Worst case scenario is that they find a code violation, a fucking whatever, and they're like, oh yeah, hey, you weren't supposed to have that. Here's a ticket. Thanks for cooperating and complying. Like, this is the same thing. It's, you know, the cops knocked on the door. No one answered. So they just let themselves in, snuck around a little bit, lifted up the mats, seen what was under there.
In this case, they didn't knock on the door.
Yeah, no.
Right? Like, no. They didn't give a chance for anybody to answer. Handle. They not only did they jiggle the handle, they waited until they watched the people leave. Like, they specifically requested in these warrants the ability to choose and select the timing that they could do it, so they could ensure that they were doing it at low activity on the servers. And they claimed they did this so that way the adversaries couldn't detect them and try to block them from isolating information or isolating the web shells. But it has the same effect on the company as well, right? The company was in their downtime. Server activity was low. It's the opposite of knocking on the door. It's literally like the cops sitting out in front of your house watching you leave for work, and then that's when they decide to go and root around. So that way they can help, you know, help your house or help something. And it's just a weird situation. This is a good thing. It's so hard to not call this an absolute good that they went in and they fixed problems that gave significant exploitation to these companies and were a significant risk to these companies. Like, that should be an absolute good. And then the way you hear about it being done, it just kind of makes you think, like,
that's what I mean. I don't, like, know about this. If the government can't just be upfront with you about what they're doing and totally transparent, then there's no doubt in my mind that there's a shady ulterior motive. Like, there's not a doubt.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like I said, I don't want to always be the conspiracy theory person. This one just rubs me that it was unnecessarily shady. But I guess that's where we're at. That the FBI can just get warrants and do what they want in the interest of collecting evidence. And that's essentially what the warrants were for. It just happened to be the evidence had to be collected on other people's servers without their permission. All right, I guess we can move on from that one. I'd be curious to hear the perspective of actual, like, security individuals and security analysis on what
We have a few. We have a few in the cantina.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm curious to hear. If you're listening, let us know. Just wondering, is this something that am I off base thinking that this is weird, or is this perfectly in the right? And this is what the FBI should be doing and should respond in the greater good.
Yeah, I don't know why, but like this whole scenario just had me like think of like a doctor. You go in the doctor, you're like, hey doc, I got a sore throat, and then he just rubber gloves you and checks your rectum, and it's like, hey, whoa, I had a sore throat. What are you doing back there? Like, what? Oh, don't worry. We gotta check for everything. We gotta check for everything. Don't worry. We'll find something. It's like, no, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel right.
All right. I don't know how we got to that analogy. Let's move on. We've got, I guess, just an interesting story before we get to some other bigger news. But we've got a Domino's Pizza autonomous vehicle operating in Houston now. If you live in Houston, how do you not order from this? Like, at least once. I don't even like Domino's Pizza. I'd have to do it once.
Yeah, but I got a feeling like this is going to go the route of Hitchbot, man. Like, do you see how small that car is? You're just going to get some frat house to tip this thing over. Just out of fucking shits and gigs. You know, and what I want to know is the art of delivering pizza has been lost. I don't know how many pizzas you order a week. I order at least one a week. And this new generation of pizza drivers don't know nothing about that sliding cheese. At least 2 out of 4 pizzas a month have no cheese on one side of the pizza, all cheese on the other side, because y'all don't know how to hit them brakes. Is the autonomous pizza car programmed for the cheese slide?
Absolutely.
Is it taking it easy on the brakes? Is it making good wide left and right turns? Like, this is what I want to know. These are the questions I need answers to.
Like I said, I don't even eat Domino's pizza. I would buy a pizza if it was delivered by this robot. just so I could see this autonomous car pull up, have it ding my app and say that my pizza's outside. I walk outside and just grab it out of the tray or the window or however it gives it to you. I'd have to do it. So if you live in Houston, you've got a job to do. Eat some pizza.
Do you have to pay a delivery charge or tip the driver?
I'm not tipping a robot.
Man, like, so what's the delivery charge on an autonomous car? Like, there's no human involved. Most likely it's very fuel efficient, and if not electric.
It's electric.
Like, yeah. So what kind of delivery charge am I paying on this thing now?
It's a good question. I don't have an answer for you here.
Yeah, they just let us know this was a thing. We got none of the details that I really need.
These are very important to know whether this is a good thing or not.
That's what I'm saying. If it doesn't slide the cheese all day, fire them fucking pizza drivers, those little teenage shitheads in on a driver's shit. Especially the DoorDash ones, because the DoorDash, they deliver all kinds of food all the time. They don't specifically deliver pizzas. So when you were like the OG pizza guy, that's all you delivered was pizzas. So you got really good and careful about it because you had the same customers and you gave a shit. These DoorDash guys don't give no fucks. They just slide that shit all over the place. You have no clue. And then you never see him again because it's random on who the DoorDash guy is. Like, if you order pizza from the same thing, occasionally you'll see that driver again. You'll be like, hey, buddy, you really fucked my cheese pizza last week. I get none of that retribution at all anymore. I get a $3 credit on my DoorDash. It's good for nothing.
You know I'm too bougie for all this. I'm over here at home making my own pizza dough Friday.
I know.
Rolling out my own pizza and making my
There are people listening.
Pizzas.
There are people listening right now that feel my pain. You, on the other hand, with your cauliflower dough, you fucking vegan.
No, I don't do that, but I'll eat all that gluten, but it's all real dough. Okay. But I make my own dough every weekend.
There are people listening right now that feel my pain. I'm talking to them.
All right. Well, let's move to just a quick story on, you know, Edward Snowden. We hear from him every once in a while. It always hits our feeds just because he's definitely in our world of nerd stuff. And he sold an NFT this week for $5.5 million. And he sold it and all proceeds went to a charity. So it's a pretty staggering dollar amount. And this guy I don't know what he does. He just gets nothing out of it.
Like when I first saw it, I was like, all right, $5.5 million for Snowden. Good. He could live off that for a while. He's probably going to need it. And then it's like, oh, he gave it to charity. Like, how are you not starving, homie? Like, how are you not starving?
Communism. I mean, he sold his book. I don't know. Who knows what he... What this guy lives
on. I don't know why
of.
You would buy his book. He talked on fucking Rogan for 4 hours. I'm pretty sure there's nothing else in that book that he didn't say on that show.
I didn't read his book. I buy audiobooks. I listened to his audiobook. I mean, it's a fairly good book. He didn't go into... It's very much like autobiographical. It really went through his history, his time at the NSA, how he even got his job at the NSA in the first place. Like, it's a pretty interesting story.
I watched the movie.
Actually, I've never seen the movie.
I watched the movie. There was a movie called Snowden.
Yeah. Nope. Haven't seen it. Yeah. Big money for an NFT from Snowden.
Yeah. Right. I mean, everybody's getting on the NFT train.
It's starting to bubble down, though. It's not, they're not at the dollar amounts they were a month ago.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I honestly believe it all depends on VR. If VR hits it big and we all go Ready Player One, NFTs will be huge. But you got celebrities cashing in on them now. They're making a pretty buck, you know. So they're going to ride that train, and whether you're going to be able to sell that Snoop Dogg NFT 5 years from now, well, that'll be seen. You know, but either way, right now, they're riding that wave, catching a bunch of rubes.
Yeah, well, let's keep this train moving here. And we got a quick just update story. We talked about 2 months ago about Discord potentially being bought out by Microsoft. Discord was also, they've been making a lot of changes to their system, increasing their user base. Came out with like a essentially like a clone to that new app Clubhouse, where you can do actual like video chats within it and stuff like that. So Discord was doing a lot of things. Microsoft was looking to buy it for a huge sum of money, and it's latest news that Discord is reportedly breaking talks and they're going to stay independent.
Yeah, I don't know what the evaluation is on these things, but they walked away from a $10 billion offer. Like, I can't have enough information about this to make that kind of decision. Like, yeah. You offer me $10 billion for anything, I'm out. Like, charge it to the game, I'm gone. Like, so the fact that they were able to walk away from, and what they said was multiple offers. It wasn't just Microsoft making offers to them, I guess. They said they walked away from multiple offers. They must... Either they're playing hardball and they just fucked up, or they think they got something really big here. I don't know. $10 billion though. That's, man. Yeah. That blows my mind to just be able to be like, nah, I'm good on $10 billion.
No, thank you. Yeah. Well, moving right along here. Let's do a new story here. And we haven't talked about this. It's been something that's been in the news for a while, and that's these microprocessor chip shortages. And there's a major chip manufacturer, TSMC, and they're talking about the shortages are going to probably continue deep into 2022. And this is following Intel saying similar things, that they're going to have significant chip shortages. Right now, everything is relying on this technology. Everything is relying on microprocessors. And for there to be a international chip shortage from the major players, and not one that's solvable, that they're looking at, hey, maybe in 2023, guys, we'll get back to somewhat normal. This is going to have a huge ripple effect in the tech industry.
Well, that's what a lot of people at the beginning of the COVID shutdowns were saying it was going to happen too. Is like, you're not going to feel the effects of the shutdowns right away. Like, it's going to take a while for everything to kind of snowball effect into the supply chain, so here it comes, folks. Like, here comes all the economic woes that are going to, from us having to shut down major plants and working. You're going to see a lot more of this.
Yeah, I think the biggest impact from this company specifically is the automotive industry, and they're going to take the biggest brunt, the biggest hit from specifically TSMC. What I didn't do leading into this is really what is driving. And I wanted to kind of do more of a detailed analysis and figure out what is driving the shortages across, because it's not just this company. It's all across the board. Some major chip manufacturers overseas. Again, we mentioned Intel already. And I'm going to end up going down the rabbit hole, and I'm going to research this to a pretty great degree and figure out exactly what's going on.
Yeah. If you thought it was hard to get your PS5 now.
Yeah. All right. But we just talked about, the car manufacturing industry taking a hit. Well, I think they took a pretty rough hit this week with a crash that took place in a Tesla vehicle a couple days ago. And it's gotten some really bad publicity. Elon has come out and made statements regarding it. And there was a vehicle crash. Two people died in a fiery wreck where the battery kept reigniting. I think it took them like 4 hours to put the fire out, 4 hours of consistent firefighting in order to even put this vehicle out. And then ultimately two people died. And then it comes out in the news reports that there was nobody in the driver's seat, that this vehicle was operating 100% autonomously, nobody even sitting in the driver's seat. Obviously, that's bad publicity for Tesla there.
So I'm torn on this, because is it really bad publicity for Tesla? At no point does Tesla tell you to get out of the fucking driver's seat and allow your car to drive itself. Like, even with the self-driving car, like, they still tell you, keep your hands on the wheel and pay attention. Like, so one, you weren't using the car as instructed. So why does this look bad on Tesla? Two, this doesn't happen all the time. Like, anytime a Tesla gets into a bad crash and something like catastrophic happens, they do a story on it. You don't hear about the 1,000 fucking Fords a week that are blowing up on the side of the fucking highway. I drove past an accident just a couple weeks ago where the motherfucker was engulfed in flames, pumping out black smoke and shit. Like, nobody talks about that accident. It's just the Tesla. You know, I don't know why we need to pay attention to every accident that, you know, affects this one model of car, when we don't talk about the thousands of accidents that affect all the other models of cars that kill, you know, all kinds of people too. Like, to me, this isn't really fair to the company.
No, it's not. And it was really kind of knee-jerk, you know, news reporting. Nobody can really wait to find out what the actual story is. Elon came out today and announced that the data logs on that vehicle, because everything is tracked on these vehicles, the data logs of that vehicles say that vehicle was not in autonomous mode. It actually wasn't even a part of the full self-driving beta. So that car didn't even have access to full self-driving mode. So why there was nobody in the driver's seat, who knows? Like, the fact that there was only somebody in the passenger seat and the rear seat, maybe somebody got a DUI and that person got out fast enough, right? Who knows why there was nobody in the driver's seat? But the news reports obviously immediately jumped to conclusions that there was nobody in the driver's seat because it was on autopilot. And that's not accurate to the actual data pulled from that vehicle. What I find actually,
I guess any car is self-driving if you just get out of the driver's seat and it doesn't hit something. Like,
yeah, what I find more kind of noteworthy out of the news is the fact that it took them 30,000 gallons of water in 4 hours to put this fire out.
Well, that's the thing with these lithium batteries. Like, I know that there is a lot of fire departments need to, as these cars are on the road, fire departments need to be prepared to put out these fires, because you can't just put them out with water. It takes like a certain chemical, sand, to actually put them out, from what I've done research on.
I mean, even in this story here, the fire chief even said that, you know, after a couple hours, they had to call Tesla and they were on hold trying to get a hold of Tesla so Tesla could tell them, like, this is what you need to do to put out this fire.
Like, how do I know that and the fire chief doesn't know that? Like, this is what I mean, is like, electric cars are here to stay, folks. Educate yourself. Like, they're on the road. There's thousands of Teslas on the road. Why doesn't the fire department, every fire department, have a fucking memo that tells people how to put out these lithium battery fires? Because I've watched a video on how bad it can be, and that, you know, when they had these test accidents at the Tesla site when they were doing the crash tests and stuff, yeah, they had to put it out with like this white dust. Like it's like, you know, it's like a grease fire. You can't put it out with water. You got to put it out with sand, or you got to smother it. It's the same thing with these things. You have to put this chemical based on it, you know. So why aren't fire trucks equipped with a little bit of this on there? Like, or why don't I just, it's frustrating that they don't, you know, the people that need to know this information don't have either, don't care enough to access it, or didn't have access to it. Like, it's fucked up.
Yeah. So that to me is, I think, the more noteworthy thing that's actual real news and concerning is the lack of training, the lack of understanding that exists out there. And there's, you know, there's going to be more and more of these vehicles powered by these type of batteries on the road. You might want to figure that out.
And I just hate that they rush to tarnish this company anytime they can. You know, it's, to me, it makes it feel like, you know, big oil is just funneling any article that they can on this, because, oh, look at these big bad electric cars. They're going to blow up with you in it. Like, no, not really.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to a little bit of space news here. And, you know, there's actually a lot of space news. And this first article being about, you know, Jeff Bezos's Blue Origin had a successful launched with the Blue Origin crewed suborbital flight, and they did a test of it. It's the 15th test that they've had with a reusable spaceship, and this time it was the first time that actual humans participated in it, and big success from Blue Origin as far as being like an actual viable human flight test that they conducted. The You know, the videos and the pictures that come out, it just looks so sci-fi, the way that these things take off. I swear, like, every time I watch, like, a Tesla landing of, like, the Starship or these failed Starship attempts, when you watch them, it's kind of like, I think it's a movie. It almost looks fake. It almost looks like bad CGI at times, the way that these fly. They just fall from the sky and then just kind of flatten themselves out. It's interesting, but Blue Origin continues to improve their designs and actually make a strong play towards being an actual SpaceX competitor.
Yeah, I just think it's kind of crazy that we've gone from the space race being between countries to private enterprises.
Just egomaniac billionaires.
You know what I mean? Like what used to take a small percentage of the GDP of nations is now being funded by private enterprise. Like, it's staggering to me, you know. Like,
listen, it's not even corporate enterprise, right? Like, it is driven by just a handful of individual
dudes,
endeavors.
Right? It is just bros. It is
Elon Musk.
Just a handful of
Jeff
bros.
Bezos, and then Richard Branson just in the corner just trying to have fun in space, right? Like, that's really what it boils down to.
Like, it's amazing that one individuals have the kind of money to fund this on their own. Like it dwarfs the GDP of many small nations.
Like, for sure.
It's staggering. You know, we live in a world where there are a handful of people that build rockets to space for a somewhat profitable hobby. Like, that's their side hustle. Your wife talked you into letting her buy a Glowforge. This motherfucker's building rockets. Like, that shit blows my mind.
Did you just recently have a Glowforge discussion? I just wondered why that was so.
I got a buddy with a Glowforge, and I got an estimate to go hook up electric for this other dude whose wife bought a Glowforge. My buddy's wife got the, like, small at-home version. This dude, I don't know how his wife talked him into it. I walked in his garage. It was the size of a fucking Volkswagen Beetle. Like, this thing is making God only knows what. And as I was doing the estimate for the Glowforge, him and his brother-in-law were carrying up, like, a 36-spool, like, automatic crocheter. Like, you just load the yarn on it. I was like, man, y'all got some crazy ass Etsy hustle going on in this motherfucker. They're like, hey, we kind of do. I was like, no shit. I was like, work from home, man. Pivot. Like, COVID proof, like, your life, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Now I'm going to have to look. You know, I can't ever hear a business opportunity without seeing if it might fit my lifestyle somewhere down the road.
Man, yeah, they had like this crocheter thing, this embroidery machine. It was nuts. It was fucking huge. And then like I walked into the estimate as they were carrying that in, and I was like, all right, what do you need me to look at? And he's like, oh, I need you to bring more power out to my garage. You know, I was like, why? Did you get a Glowforge? He's like, actually, I was like, holy shit. I was like, I was just joking. My buddy's got a Glowforge. I saw the crochet machine, so I was just joking. He's like, no, you got to see this thing. And literally, like, it was the size of a fucking car. It's like, holy shit, dude. He's like, yeah, I need power. I was like, yeah, you do.
Yeah. Oh, that's a very interesting tangent there. Let's get back to space. So we just talked about the good news for Blue Origin. The bad news is that SpaceX was just awarded the $2.9 billion contract for the next lunar lander that Blue Origin just lost. So sorry about your luck. You know, you had a good successful test flight this week. You also lost the NASA contract that you've been fighting for.
Yeah, I mean, it's the space race. Like, if someone's going to win it, someone's going to lose. If you ain't first, you're last, right, Ricky Bobby?
Looking at like the result of this, I think I would have been disappointed if it was anybody but SpaceX.
For real,
they
though.
Got it. Like for real. I mean, yeah, like Blue Origin is doing good things. There was another like defense contracting. I can't remember whether it was General Dynamics or somebody else was putting together one as well, a lunar lander as well, that lost out. But it's like, you know, if you didn't give it to SpaceX, you just missed an opportunity. Like, as NASA, one of your things you do is just kind of like making space interesting for the country and kids. Like, if you don't just leverage the fact that everybody gives a shit about SpaceX, that was just a failed plan.
Well, eventually, you know, I'm sure Bezos will catch up to like SpaceX where they're at with reputation and quality and everything like that. But as of right now, SpaceX has been doing this. Like, you got to go with the experience. You got to go with the tried and true. You know, it made me think back to like, so I see Kias on the road nowadays, and Kias, like, they're actually decent cars now. I remember when the first Kia came out, my buddy bought one. That thing was a lump of trash. Like, I was like, why would you buy this car? What is this name? Who made this thing?
Because it was buy one, get one free at the time.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you don't want to be the initial, like, NASA's not the company that's just going to roll the dice with the new hotness on the market. Like, no, they're going to go with the company that's kind of spearheading this space endeavors.
Yeah. And, you know, NASA gave their rationale, which they said that by far, SpaceX was the lowest cost, which does not surprise me. Like, Elon was getting this contract. He will do it at a loss if he needed to.
Oh, for sure. Like, and this just kind of like solidifies their name as like the leader in space travel still. Like, if SpaceX doesn't win out the major government contracts, that's when the public is really going to start thinking like, oh, like maybe they're not, you know, they're not the only gang in town anymore. Like, right now, SpaceX is like space travel. You don't think of any other company when you think of space travel. It's NASA and SpaceX.
Yeah. Well, let's go move on to Mars temporarily, and I'm gonna save this last or this next article on our list here for the end.
I'm surprised it was that high on the outline. Like, I was wondering, like, why is that up there? That should be the last one.
Yeah. Let's just talk about, you know, a couple of interesting things taking place on the surface of Mars this week. One being that NASA had to take some emergency steps they're hoping that it results in saving the Mars lander. And, you know, you've got to, if you're the nerds over at NASA, you've got to just be sweating. You know how much effort they put on perfectly timing the launch, perfectly timing the intersection and the orbital paths to get the lander in proximity, to get the lander on the surface of Mars, to start taking the pictures and doing everything. And then now you have to put it in like an emergency standby mode because its batteries are draining because its solar panels are so dusty it can't pick up solar energy right now. And in the end, you lose, or you potentially are going to lose your lander.
Because you forgot to put in a $15 windshield wiper system for your solar panels.
Like, for real. Like, it's an interesting concept. Like, they just they didn't plan for this because normally the Mars weather patterns and winds clear the dust and debris off of it with pretty good ease. Like, nothing sticks to it. It just blows off. But they've been at a point where there are no storms and there are no weather patterns on Mars. It's out of the norm. And now it's just collecting dust that is not getting carried off of it, and it's not charging its batteries anymore.
It's a little weird to think that they didn't think of this, though. Like, it's a dusty planet. Like, I thought that was common knowledge. Like, I'm pretty sure your sun knows it's a dusty planet. Like, you know, you figure it may not be common. You know, like you said, all the winds usually blast it off, and, you know, it dies down. Isn't it their job to prepare for the, like, unforeseen, you know?
I mean, you would think, you know, I guess, but everything comes at a cost. You know, this thing's been operating on Mars since 2018. So for 3 years, it's been functioning just fine based off of the assumptions they made before. So, you know, I guess eventually it comes to a death point. They're hoping that this isn't it, that it'll sit in kind of an emergency standby position until a dust storm comes, blows everything off, it cleans it up, and then all of a sudden it'll start recharging and it'll come back to life. That's the hope.
Yeah, I'm assuming they had to shut it down because if it goes completely dead, they might not be able to boot it back up online properly.
That's my assumption. So they're gonna try this super standby. It's like putting the thing on ice. It's cryogenic storage right now.
Yeah, ain't nobody going up there to blow it off anytime soon.
No. So, you know, hopefully we'll hear soon that a Mars storm came and cleaned it up and the inside is back and running.
Why don't they just get the helicopter to hover over it really close?
So that's the next story, right? So our next story is the test of the Mars helicopter, the Ingenuity helicopter, successfully completed its first flight. First time anything has ever taken off and landed in the Mars atmosphere. This is like a real-life Mars Wright Brothers moment. This is the Kitty Hawk right here.
Yeah. Is this something we should be really excited about? Did we not think things could fly there?
The truth is they didn't know because the atmosphere isn't there's not as much resistance. The atmosphere, they obviously had models that said that yes, they could fly, scientific models that said that you would be able to do this, but they genuinely didn't know. This is why it was like a secondary or tertiary mission to the Perseverance. The Perseverance was part of their plan, was to deliver this helicopter, and this helicopter really doesn't have a purpose other than just to test it, collect data on how much wind resistance, how much lift they get and everything else, send that back. So that way the next, 20 years from now, they could actually field a real helicopter with real data.
Well, it's got a secondary mission now. Blow off the solar panels. Like, if there's no one at NASA that's thought of this already, please take my advice. Like, blow that motherfucker off. You already accomplished your goal one. Like, it's basically anything that happens after this point is all an added bonus.
Yeah, I think it's just a really kind of cool feat that this is just a, like I said, this is just bonus mission time for NASA. This is just them, swinging for the fences, just trying to gather new data and different data than what the Perseverance purpose was. And hey, it's successful. They're able to hop around and fly around on this helicopter. Now SpaceX, that's what I mean. Now SpaceX has that data. So when they build their Starship to go, they know to put a little tiny drone, human helicopter.
Get an unexpected W out of this thing, man.
that would be pretty awesome if they actually use this to rescue the other one.
It's worth a try at this point. I don't think you could lose.
All right, and let's just go with the last story here. And I think space related.
I think I want to put this up to a poll in the group too.
We really should. And the question is, apparently this is a debate going on with, you know, astronauts and not necessarily astronauts, but probably like actual scientists and people, futurists who are looking at space as the frontier. And the question is, should the space agencies like NASA have a policy about cannibalism on their trips to Mars? Meaning, should they allow and encourage cannibalism?
This is where I think we should pull out the don't ask, don't tell policy for NASA. Like, you just shot them on a red planet, doomed to their death for the sake of science. If they get to the point where they have to, let's just not talk about it. Let's just let them do what they gotta do. I don't see why we need to know.
So I think this should be a formal policy. One, yes, you should absolutely eat the other human beings. It's going to be necessary. And this is coming from the plant-based guy. Yeah,
so, this is not vegan.
Well, when you're up there, you got to do what you need to do to preserve nutrients, conserve that energy, ensure that it gets back in the system. Yes, eating human beings should be allowed. Two, not only should be allowed, but it should be strictly in, like, laid out in policy on who, in the event that you're low on food, dies first and feeds the others. There should just be an outright policy about it, because not everybody's equal on Mars. I promise you that.
Yeah, if your crew starts sliding you MREs on the side, I'd be a little fucking worried.
So that's my stance on this. Is not only should it be allowed by the space agencies, but there should be a formal policy about how to choose who gets eaten first.
Yeah,
whose life is the one that you're preserving by sacrificing the meat?
See, now you're going into like a morbid place. I just assumed somebody died of natural causes, and they were like, should we utilize his body?
Natural causes could be starvation, right? Like, if everybody's starving, who's dying to feed the others?
Then it's got to go to some Lord of the Flies thing. It's survival of the fittest. Like, there is no hierarchy once we get into that point of the mission. Like, there is no, oh, captain, my captain, once we're down to the point of eating each other. Like, it is strictly fight or flight, like, at that point. I don't care if I'm the fattest dude there with all the kinds of goodies strapped to my gut. I'm stabbing Karen in the neck, and I'm a eater, skinny bitch ass. I don't give a shit.
See, I'm looking at it more from like a, you know, the movie that I'm looking forward to. But I'll talk about the book Dune. You know, this is a perfect like Dune situation. You know, they don't waste any energy. Really, what they're going after is moisture and water. They don't waste any water. They reclaim urine, spit, blood, whatever else. If you cry and shed a tear for somebody, you're just wasting water. So no, you eat that person. You get that moisture and you get that meat and energy back into your system.
Yeah, the concept I don't have a problem with. The execution of it is where you went. You lost me. I pictured some alive situation where there was dead Martians, and it's like, well, we shouldn't let them go to waste. Like, no, you're talking about the last can of soup got eaten, and now we're looking around the room like, all right, motherfuckers.
Who's going to go? I want it here in the United States on the launch pad before they go. People to like initial next to their name. That like, nope. Yep, I initial. I accept the fact that I'm the first one to die if everybody else is starving.
I don't give a fuck what I wrote my name next to on Earth. Once we get to Mars, all bets are off. All bets are off, and you better hope that I don't catch you slipping. Because if there's people eating motherfuckers around here, it ain't gonna be me. I don't care what I signed. You ain't gonna red shirt Star Trek me, motherfuckers.
All right. Well, I think we went off the rails. I think this is as much as my face can handle. I am struggling over here. So let's call this a show. Yeah. This is a week in news right here.
For those that can't see him, he's got swollen jowls.
Oh yeah. It's one for the record books here.
I always laugh when grown people get crazy dental work. You know, when you see like that 52-year-old woman with braces, it's like, really? Now is when you go. It's like, fucking motherfucker, you're 36. Like, you just got your wisdom teeth pulled out.
Yeah, no, not by choice, but out of necessity. All right, that's weekend news. Let's call it as.
Oh, I want to give a special thanks to Take a Knee for Marvel versus DC. I got my shirt today.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. I'm going to take it to the mall and get it lettered.
You got to get it lettered. And then you also, while they're lettering it, you got to have them spray paint the belt around the waist at the bottom of the shirt.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I'm in my head right now picturing the design I want to do it, because it's definitely going on Instagram and motherfuckers getting tagged.
Nice. I'll have to
keep an eye out.
Check the mail tomorrow.
Yours will be there soon.
All right. That's officially weekend news. As always, hey, thanks for listening. If you want to, you know, thank me for my sacrifice of talking through oral surgery this week, just please give us rating review over on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever allows you to give ratings reviews, or at a minimum, join us over the community if you're not already there.
Yeah,
have a conversation. Let us know if you'd eat your scientist friends out on Mars.
Yeah, this was the week I didn't know if we'd get one out on time, but we didn't let you down, folks. We're here Wednesday. Tuesday night recording for a Wednesday morning post. Here we go.
All right. With all that said, thanks again. Talk to you next week, nerds.
See ya.